and WBAI in New York. I'm Sue Goodwin.
Next, we'll hear a speech that was given by Dick Gregory on June the 7th at Longshoremen's Hall in San Francisco at a benefit sponsored by the Committee United for Political Prisoners.
Everybody in this country seemed to get uptight over repression. I don't know the exact day the country's going to fall, but at the rate we're going, it'll be within the next 4 years. And when this country comes to its knees, I know all of the silly folks is going to try to blame it on the bad folks. But let me tell you something, the bad folks in America been bad for 400 years. They ain't never changed. And when this country falls, we got to blame it on us good folks who just decided to get good all at once. That's what the problem is. Repression. It's just getting good. It's going to get so that you wouldn't dare meet in an arena this big and try to collect some money. It's going to come down. It's going to be so good. We're going to slip and meet, and we're going to take what we want. That's right. That's what it's coming to. That you're not going to need no big names that society, the same goddamn system that's kicking your ass, got to put a label on us before you come out to take care of a rally. Something wrong with that, baby. I look at black brothers and young white kids got to get high and freak out and drink alcohol. Baby, if these goddamn conditions that existed in this country for 400 years ain't enough to get you drunk and make you high, there's something wrong with you. Repression. Do you really know what repression is? Repression, when you really stop and think about it, is more detrimental to the oppressor than to the oppressed. I mean, do you understand repression? Let me try to explain repression to you. It's like if we all lived in a one-room kitchenette, and I'm sure it might be a couple of white folks in here don't know what a one-room kitchenette is. So let me briefly explain that to you. That's where all of us is in one room, the beds in that room, the toilets in that room, the stoves in that room, the dining tables in that room. That's a one-room kitchenette. So let's say we all in a one-room kitchenette. And this old tea kettle on the stove getting hot for some instant coffee. And the old tea kettle get to humming good. And some old fool upstairs, laying on the bunk, we call him Attorney General Mitchell. He'll say, go cut that noise out, boy. I say, well, how shall I do it? I say, plug it up. And so the fool come down, plug up the hole in the tea kettle. And all the fools is happy because you can't hear no noise no more. But I'm sure you got enough sense to know what's gonna happen. And when a tea kettle busts in a one-room kitchenette, all of us gonna get burned. Now you can collect all the money. You can have all the rallies you want. You ain't got enough sense to do something that's relevant to turn into balls. Getting that tea kettle off the stove, you're in trouble. America ain't nothing but old one-room kitchenette. And the old tea kettle got to making noises. And this country is in such control of these sick, tired, insane degenerates. No thanks to them. I'm so damn sick and tired of people blaming Nixon. Hell, Nixon didn't come down here from Mars with a gun and say, I'm your president. Your mamas, your daddies, your fucking friends put Nixon in office. That's how he got there. much y'all look around and wonder how he, you know damn good and well how he got in office. The majority of your American citizens wanted that sick, slimy degenerate to rule a sick, slimy degenerate nation. That's how he got in office. And so now, LBJ would have brought it down. 15 years ago, 12 years ago, Kennedy would have brought it down on your ass. Just so happened you was behaving yourself and you let all them other freaks come through and you think they was nice cats. No, they wasn't as nice as you were. You was responsible for Kennedy behaving himself because you wasn't raising no hell. You wasn't trying to get to the basic heart of the problems that's confronting America. And had we raised this much hell 50 years ago, people then would have hollered about repressive measures. I hope you understand repression. I hope you understand what makes the tea kettle whistle. It ain't got nothing to do with man after he creates the first incident. Nature is such a beautiful bird. Nature says that if you violate one of my laws, I will react. But before I will react, I'll give you some warning. The fire belongs to nature, the water belongs to nature, the old tea kettle man that messed up the metal, so she don't even clean that no more. So you got fire, man-made tea kettle, and nature's water. And when it get to boiling, nature's so beautiful, she said, why don't you just warn them fools once? And it goes, and when the fool plugs up the warning, she ain't got nothing else left to do. Same thing's happening in America today. All the hell that's been going on in this country for the last 3 or 4 years is America's last final warning before nature brings this country down to the ground. If you running down the street and you get a pain in your heart, and if you dumb enough to think that means run faster, you're in trouble. You hear a lot of rhetoric in this country about revolution. Thanks to Karl Marx, he really fucked that up. Because he looked at a pure naturistic occurrence and tried to put a name to it, and most people's dumb enough to believe that revolution's controlled by man. Revolution is not controlled by man, it's never been controlled by man, and it never will be controlled by man. Revolution is controlled by nature. Revolution is nothing more but an extension of evolution. Evolution is nothing more but a gradual naturistic change that after long periods of time leads into revolution, which is quick change. When a woman gets pregnant, the first 9 months of the gestation period is evolution. When that water bag breaks, it's called revolution, baby. And if you think you can offset revolution with some money and some rallies and some National Guardsmen, you are out of your mind, baby. And if you don't believe it, you find a woman that's 9 months pregnant, and when her water bag breaks, you go get all the National Guard on the face of this earth and see if you can cross her legs and keep that baby in there. You find you a woman that's 9 months pregnant and decides you want to stop the baby and see if you can plug her up and keep that baby in her. Nature have beautiful laws, but they screwed laws. After 9 months pregnancy is up, she gonna drop that baby if it means death to the mother and the child. America's 9 months pregnancy is just about up, and this baby gonna fall if it means death to the mother and the child. And before a woman has the baby, she goes into labor pains, and some freaks are silly enough to believe that that's something that hurts the woman. That's to let you know that new life is fixing to come. And if some freakish doctor could find some way to stop you bras from feeling labor pain, a lot of you are dumb enough to take it and then walk around all over the world and say, wonder why I had the baby downtown. Just slipped out of me. Didn't know it was coming. The two mightiest armies that's ever been assembled, one was Napoleon and the other was Hitler, and man will lie to you and tell you that man destroyed those two armies. Same thing destroyed those two armies is about to destroy America. Nature, they told Hitler and Napoleon, don't try to go to Moscow in the wintertime, boy. America's a very sick, degenerate nation. And all of us is guilty of it. The sad thing about this here, we all got to admit, and we got to sit around and just start trying to get some wisdom and some knowledge together. You got to quit reacting to what these old freaks is doing. You got to understand that it is man's basic right to be afraid. And once man becomes afraid, it is his basic right to react to his fears. If I think I see a ghost tonight and running out of here, I'll stomp 20 of you to death. It ain't a damn jail I'll ever be put into because I was legally and normally reacting to my fear. And when you see the Nixon reacting to a fear, and whether you like it or not, they have a right to do that. I meet so many white folks upset because Wallace won. I'm so goddamn glad that white folks in America got another stinking honky they can rally their fears behind. Instead of me, I don't know what to do. So I hope you understand that all men have a right to react to their fears. And the fear that they're reacting to today in America is a great moral force. Niggas balled up their fists and white folks got scared. What the hell you think scared them? Not that little old puny black fist, because you white folks been had that fist in your house. Every time you go out and get you a box of baking soda, you got that big old white arm and fist. Well, that couldn't scare you. But this great moral force is moving today in this country. Morality is not how many rallies you come to. Morality is not how much money you put in the box. Morality is, can you deal with these stinking, degenerate problems 24 hours a day, or do you have to come to a rally and hide? Can you deal with it every day in the week? They might put you in jail, but so what? When you looked at the brother in Chicago shackled to the chair and handcuffs on him, police was the hero when they busted John Dillinger, baby, and put handcuffs on his ass. They put handcuffs on Bobby Seale. He ceased being handcuffs. They became bracelets of dedication. And any of you didn't see that, something wrong with you. His chains was ringing out music of freedom, baby. So you got to understand where this country is headed. And if you want it to head somewhere other than this way, then baby, you got a job. Because when it falls in, it's going to fall in on you. Understand that. And those of us that's been out here, the cat can't lay no more on us than he's already laid on us. So from this day on, you ain't fighting to save the Panther's ass. You ain't fighting to save left-wing radicals' ass. You fighting for your very existence. And the sad thing is, you don't even know it. And the day everybody will understand that you know is the day we can hold a rally and nobody says nothing, Jim. Just sitting, Then the FBI takes some tapes back and they blow his ass because they won't believe we had a rally and didn't nobody talk. They think he's lying. And so I hope you understand where this country's going. You see, nations are like people. People get sick. Nations get sick. People check themselves out early, they can survive. Nations check themselves out early, they can survive. Sometimes man gets so sick he go beyond the point of no return. We will know in the next few months if America is that sick, has she gone beyond the point of no return. You can check out America. Sometime you come home and your father, someone that you love, is in bed. You say, what's wrong, son? I went to the doctor. The doctor told me I got a bad chest. Son, you look so good. Every now and then people have fine machines that can reach and see where cancer is before it even gives you a pain. Down through the years, we've had brilliant minds that was able to see the cancer in America before anyone could feel it. America kept ignoring it. Yeah, I'll be all right. Sometime you can come home as a child from school and your mother's sitting in the chair and she don't look right. And you say, Mommy, you don't look right. I'm all right. How the hell you know? Ain't nothing wrong with me. You ain't no doctor. I said, no, Mom, I don't need to be no doctor. Look at your legs all swollen up, your knees all big, breath stink, eyes all red, juice running out your ears. You sick, Mama. You better get in bed, rest, call you a doctor. quit drinking so much alcohol, quit using so much dope, cause you sick, mama. But one day, a lot of young folks in America, after America did not listen to the diagnosis of brains, as a child looks at his sick mama, said to America, you sick, lady. And she kept saying, how you know? They said, we know because we've read the United States Constitution. And the United States Constitution, regardless of what you think about that document, it's a beautiful document because it tells you what Mama America is supposed to function like when she's well. And if you read the United States Constitution and look at the way she's functioned, you on the United States Constitution. Now, for many years, we've looked at America and we knew she was sick. A lot of people say Kent University wasn't as significant. A lot of people say white folks got upset over Kent and didn't get upset over Mississippi. I'm not too goddamn stuck on you getting upset over Mississippi. Now you ain't been upset over what's been going on down there. Kent, you should have been upset over Kent. Because what happened at Kent University, what... Now, when you're dealing with an insane person, you try to talk them into reality and tell them, let's go to the hospital, ain't nobody gonna hurt them. When they get all uptight and wanna act a fool, you get some help, call the man, they take him on in, throw his ass in the straitjacket. Can't do that with Mama America, because she owns all the mental hospitals, and she holds all the straitjackets. And this crazy bitch is trying to look around and say everybody that's pure and honest and beautiful is crazy. And so she's going around putting sane people in jail. And out of all the people that's in jail today, the beautiful people, there's one thing she cannot do. She can throw you in jail and make a convict out of you, baby, but throwing you in jail will never make you a criminal. That she cannot do. Matter of fact, the sad thing in this insane nation, the people that's making convicts out of all us beautiful people, they are the criminals. But they're not the convict because they haven't been convicted yet. And the way she's throwing good folks in jail, one day she's going to make the one fatal mistake. We're going to end up with so many convicts in this country, for the first time we'll be able to convict the criminals. Now, the beautiful thing about America, she has another document that tells you how you're supposed to deal with her when she go crazy. See, the United States Constitution tells you how mama's supposed to function when she's well. The Declaration of Independence tell you what you're supposed to do when the bitch go crazy. And the dates don't say nothing about holding no rallies and collecting no money. And in case you don't know, it's like, you know, you leave a will, you marry a broad, and you think she might get up tight with some other cat after you die, so you lock it in so the kids will always be taken care of. See, the founding fathers, with all of their madness, they say, you know, this old bitch might go crazy one day. Let's leave something here so everybody know how to deal with her when she go crazy. It's called the Declaration of Independence. Read simply, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, and when these rights are destroyed over long periods of time, it is your duty to destroy or abolish that government. Now, if y'all want to save this country, what you better do is read this thing and understand it very good and start doing what it say do. Because if you keep fooling... You see how she's already wrecked the Constitution, keep faking you out to make believe she's well. She turns and gets the Constitution and say, cross the state line to incite. It's criminal. So if you come across the state line to exercise freedom of speech, they got all these fools thinking you're a criminal. So she's already changed that Constitution. That ain't nothing new. Doctors do it all the time. They look at you and examine you, know damn good and well you're sick, but they don't want to tell you because they know how you act. So they tell you you got a headache. You ain't got a headache, you got cancer. And you're going to die. America's in the same shape today. And all of you so-called decent folks are the doctors. Let me tell you something, Doc. If you are afraid of the patient, both of you are going to die. Better get on in here and call it like it is. Knock this bitch down, examine her, put that straitjacket on her ass, and haul on off to the nut hole. Now, briefly, let me explain to you what Kent University was all about. Because I feel if you know where America is coming from and know where she is today, you have no doubt where she's going. In early America, the founding fathers, I mean, if you know the true history, what's happening in America couldn't surprise you because those were not statesmen that the king and the queen sent over here. Them were nothing but hoodlums and jailbirds and thugs that bitch let come over here because if she kept there, she'd have killed them all. So your founding fathers was criminals. And they didn't become criminals because they was trying to overthrow an oppressive system. They became criminals to find God in a free nation. So that should let you know where they were. Landed at the Plymouth Rock and shot and murdered their way all the way across to California. So they just got crazy. This bitch been crazy ever since she got here. How you land at these shores and discover a country that's already occupied? It's like me and my lady walk out of here tonight and you and your lady sitting in your brand new automobile. My lady says, gee, baby, that sure is a beautiful automobile. I said, you want it? Let's discover it. So understand this man. All at once you act like it was a nice, healthy boy that went bad. This country ain't never been nice and ain't never been healthy. Now, we were such a sick, degenerate nation, for some reason, we had to do something that no other civilized man or uncivilized man has ever had to do in the history of America. We had such an insanity, in order to get therapy, we had to play cowboy and Indian. So we started playing cowboy and Indian, and one day the Indian came to us and said, great white man, I don't be your Indian no more. The great white father got upset. What do you mean, you red-faced, moccasin-wearing bastard, you? So you call all names you want to call. Me no be your Indian no more. So rather than be outdone with his sick, degenerate ass, he says, ah, I know, we too mean for you. Indians say, no, white man, you're not too mean. We can take everything you lay on us. Burn down village, kill kids, rape women. We take all that, white man, but what we can't take for you to go all over the world and tell the folks, we are the savages. No more be your Indian. No more. You lied to your kids in the history book. You know, damn good and well, King Edward sent a document over here that offered 16 pounds for an Indian man's scalp, 10 pounds for the woman's scalp, 5 pounds for an Indian kid's scalp. You invented scalping, white man. We just retaliated back. And you lie and tell everybody, red man savage. No, we will not play your Indian no more. When your cavalry come through and wipe out village, white man, you call that great victory. When Indian do same thing, you call it great massacre. Not gonna be your Indian no more. So you say, I'll kill you, red man. So I don't give a damn what you do to me. You will kill me, but it will not be in the form of a game anymore. They said, I'll put you on reservations. They put me anywhere you want to put me. So we put him on the reservation. The great white fathers got together, the Rockies, the DuPonts, the Kennedys, the Henry Fords. They was well enough to do without an Indian. And in the not-too-distant future, they found out they were sicker than they thought they was. They needed another Indian. They went back on reservation and tried to convince the Indian to come off. The Indian told them, get lost. The great white father had powwow. Said, we need Indian. I slapped my wife the other day. I got to find somebody to misuse. And they looked out. And they say, get that Jew. He said, come here, Jew boy. Are you the Indian? Jew said, what's that? He said, I'm the merchant. He said, you used to be the merchant. You the Indian. Take that gun and run for the hills, Jew. And sure enough, Jew always been clever. You know, he made pretty damn good Indian. They got too much for the Jew, and the Jew went and said, great white father, we cannot be your Indian no more. Great white father got uptight. He said, you long-nosed Jewish bastard, you. Jew said, you call me the name you want to call me. I'm not going to be your Indian no more. He said, you want to join us? He said, I'll think about it. Meanwhile, they had to get another Indian. The great white fathers got together, the Rockefellers, the DuPonts, the Fords, the Kennedy. He said, who are we going to get? Take that Irishman, he said, dumb, bigfoot, clawbottom bastard couldn't even make a good nigger, let alone an Indian. So call him over here. Say, come here, Irish, bastard. Look at him, he's too dumb to even walk. Come here, boy. We're going to make you the Indian.
I said, in the world, what that?
He said, you take that gun and run for the hills, and you'd be surprised how clever the Irish brother got when he realized what the Indian was. Matter of fact, he got so clever, the Irishman came to the great white father and said, great white father, I cannot be your Indian no more. The great white father cussed him and called him a bunch of bad names. He said, I don't care what you call me, white man. Me, Irishman, will not be your Indian no more. He said, well, what you want to do since you don't want to be the Indian? The Irishman looked at him and said, I'll be your police. Say, that's just like you, you dumb, ignorant Irish bastard, you. Put a gun in your hand, you'd probably shoot yourself. So Rocky walked away and went back to ask the rest of the white fathers what they'd do with the Irishman. Said, wait here, boy, I'll be right back. So they said, what's wrong, Rocky? Said, that dumb, ignorant Irishman talking about he wants to be the police. So DuPont and Ford and them got together and said, hey, come here, Rocky. Say, damn right. Let's make that dumb fucking Irishman the police. He's so dumb, he won't even understand we will have him enforcing bad laws. And anytime the Constitution get in our way, we'll just write another bad law and get that fool to enforce it. Rocky said, I'll be damned, that show is clever. So they said, come here, boy, you Irish bastard, you. Irishman said, just give me my gun, my nightstick, and my suit, and I'll teach you about them names. What'd you say, boy? He said, I say nothing, I just... So the Irishman became the cop, great white father lost another Indian. So they looked around and said, we need one. He said, bring that Italian boy here. He said, we know that Italian will make a good Indian because he got a lot of nigger in him anyway if you know anything about Hannibal. So he brought the Italian up close. He said, hey, Wump, you the new Indian. The Italian played the game. And if you want to know how vicious the cowboy was, all of you in America should read the story of Sacco and Vanzetti. And I advocate that there shouldn't be a person in America over 12 years old that shouldn't have a pistol to their head and left there until they finish reading the story of Sacco and Vanzetti. And the sad thing about this sick degenerate nation is most Americans, especially you folks that call yourself decent, don't even know what the hell Sacco and Vanzetti was all about. Because if you knew about that, the things that happened today wouldn't surprise you at all. One day the Italian came and said, great white man, I cannot be your Indian no more. He said, well, damn it, you've got to be the Indian because you're the last one. He said, well, I'm not going to be your Indian no more. Give me something to do. You let the Irishman go. You let the Jew go. He said, okay, you don't want to be the Indian no more, you wop bastard, you. What you want? You want to push a little dope for us? And he said, no, you're just trying to get me in trouble with the police. How in the hell can I get you in trouble with the police when the Irish is our cops? He said, the people, whole system in this country so bad that these dumb Americans would never get hip to you pushing dope. They would never have the intelligence to understand how a 9-year-old kid can find a heroin man, but the FBI can't. These freaks in America would never have the intelligence to know that the same bastards that let you get the dope are the same ones that keep you from voting at 18. And if dope was any good for you, it'd be as hard to get to as an 18-year-old getting to the poll. So he convinced the Italian. So he said, wait a minute, let me go check with the other fathers. DuPont went back and said, hey, Rocky Kennedy, Ford, come here. I got this freak out here to push the dope for us. He said, is that all? He said, that's enough. Say, no. He said, what's that? He said, we'll invent it. Call it the Mafia. Give out a lot of publicity. And let everybody know that the Italian is the gangster. And us real gangsters like me and you, DuPont, and Rockefeller, we will go unnoticed and they'll think we the statesman instead of the real gangster. And talk about the pigs and the police and this and that. And don't mention Rockefeller, DuPont, Kennedy. That's your real enemy, baby. And when you blow down the last police station and kill the last cop, the same slimy, degenerate bastards that pollute your water and your air and create poverty and kill panthers and start wars do not wear policeman uniforms, nor do they sleep in the police station. You come and you sit and you ballyhoo at these goddamn rallies and you go right back and you buy your new car. You out your mind. You go right back and you buy your television set. You go right back and you get you some furniture. You go right back and tell the same stinking system that put panthers in jail to marry your sons and daughters. That's where you are. He know where you are, baby. That's sad. One day, he looked around and the Italian gave it up, baby. He was really uptight. Oh, great, my father got so uptight, he didn't know what to do. He said, well, we flushed them all out, man. We ain't got no more Indians left. He said, damn, Rocky, I got to find one somewhere. I hit my wife the other night, goddamn, I just need an Indian. Well, they started going out hunting more. That didn't do no good. This wall for Indian, up walked the nigger. Great white father, can I talk to you? Say, yeah, what you want, nigger? Say, we'd like to be Indian. So Rocky wanted to get a big laugh out of it, so he went back, told the rest of them freaks. He said, you never believe this. I said, nigga standing like that. So he requested to be the Indian. He said, well, you know them niggas is dumb. And he said, no, this one ain't. This one ain't scratching his head and digging in his ass. This one ain't been over. He walking up straight, got one of them Phi Beta Kappa keys on him from Harvard. Got his lips all tucked in, talking strange. Came up, used the same type of language we use. Say, white man, I'd like to be the Indian. He said, Rocky, go back out there and tell him he's been too good a nigga. Rocky went out, took DuPont with him. He said, come here, nigga. He said, why you want to be the Indian, nigga? Don't you know what we do to the Indian? He said, yes, sir. He said, no, you don't. Tell him, DuPont, what we do. We burn down villages, keep Indians in jail without trial, high bail, rape their women, kill them. Nigga said, boss, you do the same thing, nigga, but at least the Indian, they tell me get to carry a gun. Say, yeah, nigga, I guess you have been talking to somebody. Well, what'd you say, boss? He said, okay, nigga, take that gun and run. Let me tell you something. America never had it so good. We was the enemy. That's why for a brief period of time, a lot of y'all didn't know she was sick. Because we was the best therapy America ever had with her insane ass. Because she got the double bonus with us. Not only was we the Indian, but she kept us the nigger too. Yeah, she'd run the young dudes up and down the road and lynch us and shoot us down and made us be the Indian as we requested. But she kept my grandma and my grandpa the nigger, kept them in the kitchen. And so we experienced something that no other Indian ever experienced. It's a hell of a thing when you have to be the Indian and the nigger too. That meant after great white man lynched and murdered the young bucks, my mama and my grandma had to scrub my blood off that funky shirt tail in the robe of the nigger. Yeah, she had to get him ready to go to my funeral because he didn't realize he killed the maid's boy. It's a hell of a thing when you got to be the Indian and the nigger. Well, one day, we had enough of it. We went up to great white man, the great white father. We can't be your nigger no more. And for some reason, he didn't release us like he released y'all. He said, oh, nigger, get on back up there and shut up. The hell you think you talking to? Now, in all fairness to the great white father, there was a difference when we asked not to be the Indian no more. You see, the Indian, the Jew, the Irishman, the Italian, and all of them groups decided they wouldn't be the Indian no more. They left the women and kids in the village, and they came to see this vicious, insane white man. Just the men came to see him. When the black folks decided we weren't going to be the Indians anymore, the men stayed in the village and our women and kids came to see him and say, we ain't going to be the Indian no more. Well, you black folks know what I'm talking about. You stayed on the job and send your kids to rallies. So he thought we was playing. But he said he know the way folks act. They say they ain't gonna be the Indian no more. And I'm so goddamn sick and tired of you niggas in America always walking around, hey man, when you think they're gonna stop killing the black man? That's up to us, not up to them. When we decide that this racist honky stops killing niggas, he will stop. Not until then. He will not pass no laws. He know what you like and know what you don't like. He gave us trinkets and made us put more value on the trinket than on each other. This same fascist pig that will gun Black Panthers down in the middle of the morning, in the lightest of day or the darkest of night, know damn good and well he better not come in you niggas' neighborhood tonight and shoot your automobile up parked in front of your house because he know you niggas ain't gonna stand for it. And if this honky in Oakland or San Francisco or Chicago or New York go through the black community and riddle and burn you niggas' cars up, you won't have to get no big names to come to town to hold you a rally and run this honky out your town, baby. There's a whole lot of blame we can put on this white man, but there's a lot of blame, baby. We got to deal with ourselves. Ain't nothing we ever liked. And you love your grave. He ain't about to go up to your grave. You know, he better not come in your house and kick your television over. You know you, baby. Get you a brand new car and pull in the goddamn filling station. Tell him, fill it up with the best you got. Need a little all what kind, give me the best. Give me some of that and some of that and some of that and some of that. You know where you are, baby. 10 years, we tried to tell this bastard we weren't the Indian no more and he wouldn't listen to us. Thank God for Stokely and Rapp, Eldridge Cleveland, Huey Newton, the Black Panthers on the scene. Because the Black Panthers told us, and Bobby Seale told us, and Eldridge Cleveland told us, and Stokely and Rapp told us, say, nigga, If you will not be the Indian, take off the Indian war paint, get the feather, then go tell him you won't be the Indian, and if you don't look like the Indian, he might believe you. And it worked. We let our hair grow out naturally, cream, and say, accept me the way nature put me here. We stopped talking our lips, baby, and stopped trying to talk the way we thought honkies wanted us to talk. And great white father listened and said, hey, my God, them niggas really ain't the Indian no more. And it worked. And it worked. There's no whore can lay in the bed naked next to the pimp and decide she ain't gonna turn no more tricks. Get her ass out the bed, put her clothes on, and get out there on the street corner. When you don't come back no more, he knows something happened to the whore. And so all of 1960, he wrestled with us. We told him with some of the most beautiful rhetoric that's ever been uttered in the history of man talking that we're not gonna be your Indian no more. We told him with Malcolm. We told him with Dr. King. We told him with Reverend Abernathy. We told him with Huey. We told him with Bobby Seale. We told him with Eldridge Cleaver. We told him with Mrs. LaRusso. We told him with Brother Gary. And then in 1969, he finally got the message. And we was released. But he got very uptight. Because he found out something when he told us we didn't have to be the Indian no more. We said, thank you, white father. We got some news for you. We ain't gonna be your nigga neither. And as we moved out of the decades of the 60s, for the first time in the history of America, he was out an Indian and a nigger. This had never happened before. He had always, in the history of this country, either had him a nigger or Indian. But he moved into the new decade of the 1970s without either one. And if you don't believe it, just get the tapes and rerun the shows of New Year's Eve. Did y'all look at television New Year's Eve? All the Cronkites and the Sebrides, they was philosophizing. They said, well, the 60s was a turbulent year. It was trying to say they lost their nigger and their Indian. That's what they're trying to say. And they're saying, we made it through. Did y'all hear them that night on television? Oh, they say, we made it through. We didn't know how we made it through, but we made it. 70 be here in a few seconds. And great white man thought he was morally sound because for the first time he had not a nigger nor Indian. The first time he ever started a new decade without either one of them. People were saying, I better get him Indian and nigger for June. And the folks, the nice folks that wanted to believe because they didn't want to come out here and fight, they said, oh no, he's clean. And there was a lot of us folks that knew where this sick bastard was. And we said, you get him one for June. People say, there ain't no more. January slipped by, and all people got roguish. They said, look at him, he made a month, Jim. And February came in and left. March came in and left. April came in, and then the folks really start getting uptight. They said, look at that, he almost made it. I told you he was all right. Damn near convinced me a little bit. I said, all right, damn it, this is the end of April. Let me see him get here to June, and I'll just quit talking about it. Now, I'd be damned if April left and the first week of May jumped in and Rocky and DuPont and the Kennedys and the Henry Fords, they had the biggest meeting they ever had. Goddamn, Rocky, I can't make another day without Indians. I can't make it. DuPont say, damn, boy, shut up. Ain't no more Indians. Ain't no more niggas. He said, yes, it is. Look out there in the valley. He said, Rocky, you can't be that insane. Those are our white kids. He said, they used to be, they the new nigger and the new Indian. You that didn't know what Kent State was all about. It was you young white kids' initiation of being the new Indian and the nigger, baby. And if you don't believe you the nigger and the Indian, you listen at them discuss your ass on television today and remember how they used to discuss us. What's wrong with them? What do they want? They ought to get out of school and work like we did. Matter of fact, I'm a little alienated with you new white niggas, nigga. Because in less than a month's time, you learn how to be a nigga better than we did in 400 years. Yeah, they just proved that out here in California last week. Made headlines all over the world. There's a county out here in California that said you white kids with the long hair and the beard and the little mini skirts can't get unemployment compensation no more, nigga. That's when I realized, in a short time, y'all out niggered the real nigga. They said the reason is you can't get it because they had a survey with all the employers in the area, and they decided 97% of them said they would not hire one of you white kids with long hair and beard and broad with on their miniskirts. So on the strength of that, they wouldn't hire you. And on the strength of that, the man say so, it's your appearance that creates a situation. Now those same degenerates that would not hire you with your long hair and the miniskirts and the beards, and the man won't pay you until you get rid of it, those same ones wouldn't hire us with the black face, but we still was able to get our unemployment compensation. So you more nigger today than we ever was. And understand one thing, that not only are you the nigger, but you the Indian. And when you become the Indian and the nigger, the cowboy has one good fringe benefit. It goes along with being the cowboy, and that is all niggers and all Indians look alike. Ain't no such thing as a right wing or left wing nigger. Ain't no such thing as a left wing or right wing Indian. They proved that at Santa Barbara. Remember the kid that got killed? The white nigger, you remember that? That got killed. What was he doing up there? Trying to put the fire out, right? All niggers look alike. Killing. They proved it at Kent University. White girl, ain't got nothing to do with nobody. On her way to her car, kill that nigga, bam. White boy, nigga, Kent University. Honor student, ROTC, he loved it. Kill that nigga. New York City, construction workers. Dig it, baby. Dig who the new nigga is. You better understand it quick. And then you wonder, how come ain't no black folks showed up at the rally in Washington to moan the death of the new niggas? I tell you where we was. We was the same place since it's your turn you was when it was our turn. I was down south about 4 days ago, and I was telling them white niggas down there who thought because they was different, they weren't the nigga. And I explained to that white audience down there, I said, give me 25 white nigger Indians from here between the age bracket of 19 to 24. Give me these 25 niggas that love George Wallace, that love Barry Goldwater, that hate all niggas and Jews, and I'll show you 25 of them new white nigger Indians. I can take to New York City and put them on the same street corner with the construction workers, and they'll beat their nigger Indian head wide open because all niggers look alike. So as I leave you tonight, I say to you, you have a big job. We're at the critical point now. You better listen to these kids. The Bible said kids shall lead them. Kids are very hip.
I didn't realize how hip they was. One night, me and my lady leaving the house, going to the movie. My daughter said, where you going, Daddy? I said, we going to the movie. She said, take us. I said, it's for adults only. She said, Daddy, you shouldn't go to them movies where you can't take your kids. I said, why? She said, they're going to supposed to go down. Say to you here, listen to these kids. Kids are very hip. Are you aware that young kids love Frankenstein? Did you know that? They love Frankenstein. Did you know that? Yeah, they sell more Frankenstein outfits. Do you know young kids ain't never wanted to be nobody bad? That's why you know Frankie must have been a good cat. That's right, you can laugh, but little kids, them little kids of mine, I got eight of them, I listen to them, because they hip now. That's why I knock Santa Claus out of my house. I ain't never met a little kid want to be Santa Claus. He must have sit in Santa's lap, baby. They just don't jump up there. And I tell you something else little kids don't want to be. God. Not because God is bad, but you stinking, slimy kids, close as they come, they want to be angels. They hear you praying for a military victory. They hear you praying for their brother in Vietnam that's trying to kill an unarmed civilian. They hear you praying for a country that drops napalms on little babies. You say, damn, if God can be responsible for this, I don't want to be him. So you never ran across a kid that wanted to be God. Baby, kids ain't never gonna be nobody bad. Frankenstein, you have never gone to see Frankenstein with your little kids. Take one with you. They love Frankenstein, baby. Because while you was... But Frankenstein don't scare the little kids because the kids got enough sense to know who scares Frankenstein. Frankenstein was scared of Bela Lugosi, and you didn't have enough sense to be afraid of who the monster was scared of, baby. But the kids did. Kids knew Frankie wasn't a bad cat. Kids, yeah, that's what it was. Every time he killed one of them bros, he'd bring it back to the lab, to the super freak, baby. America's the only country in the world that not only wrote the book, but did a movie of how she's gonna fall. It's called Frankenstein. Big Frankenstein, very important. Then you understand what's going down today, and you understand what this is all about up here. The mad scientist who needed an Indian 24 hours a day. And when we told him we wasn't gonna be the Indian, that's why he went to the moon looking for another one, didn't find none, had to come back and get his kids. He went out to the graveyard and dug up a dead man. Monster, ain't no doubt about that. He was a monster, baby. And we were scared of Frankenstein. Frankenstein was scared of the mad scientist. Frankenstein used to, long my hum. Bella go say, go, go, boy. Yeah, okay. One day he overshot Frankie, and Frankie jumped up off that table. Bella go say, I need five tonight. The moon is full. He said, no more. Be your Indian. And he swung at Bela Lugosi, and Bela Lugosi dug it. Bela Lugosi said, be nonviolent, Frankie. Learn the words that we shall overcome, Frankie. Fall on your knees and pray to me for me, Frankie, if I do something you don't like. Be lovable, you monster. And Frankie smiles and said, oh, okay, Bela, I love you. And he grabbed that bastard and he hugged him. See what's...
what's a hug to a monster might not be a hug to the mad scientist. But Frankie grabbed his ass and started making love to him. Say, I'm going to squeeze your ass to death. And as he pulled the mad scientist close to him, Bela Lugosi started fighting for life. And as he reached out, his foot kicked over a lamp. The lab caught on fire. Everything in it burnt to the ground. The only person didn't have nothing to lose was Frankenstein, because he was dead to begin with. Check it out, baby. Check it out. We was in Africa minding our own business, dead to begin with, and the bastard. We was scared of who? We was scared of your white mamas and your white daddies and the white police and the white sheriff and the white FBI agents.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here's some headlines for this hour. In August of 2022, the FBI executed a search warrant at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago Resort in Palm Beach, Florida, to investigate the handling of presidential documents, including classified documents that may have been brought there. In total, 15 boxes of documents that were found contained 184 documents with classified markings. Today, however, U.S. District Judge Eileen M. Cannon dismissed the classified documents case against the former president. The federal judge said the appointment of special counsel Jack Smith to oversee the case violated the Constitution. That judgment harmonizes with Trump's defense lawyers, who asserted that Jack Smith was illegally given the position because he was not confirmed by Congress and his office was improperly funded by the Justice Department, according to them. Responding to his case dismissal today, former President Trump said this, quote, should be just the first step, and then he called for the other criminal cases against him to be dismissed as well. The FBI is still trying to determine the motive behind the assassination attempt on former President Trump, which took place over the weekend at a rally of his in Pennsylvania. Secret Service agents killed the 20-year-old shooter shortly afterward. Two rally attendees are in critical condition, while another attendee, 50-year-old Corey Kemperator, a volunteer firefighter, was killed while trying to protect his family from the gunfire. Since the assassination attempt, former First Lady Melania Trump released a statement expressing her emotions after the incident. And prior to that, President Joe Biden addressed the incident, condemning such violence.
The bottom line is that the Trump rally was a rally that he should have been able to be conducted peacefully without any problem. But the idea that there's political violence or violence in America like this is just unheard of. It's just not appropriate. And everybody must condemn it. Everybody.
It's also been reported that both President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden spoke on the phone with Donald and Melania Trump after the shooting incident. To your local news, New York City, New Jersey, and the entire tri-state area has been placed under a heat advisory through Wednesday, with excessive heat warnings posted for parts of Central and South Jersey. The excessive heat and humidity will make it feel like it's between 95 and 110 degrees. These temperatures are a concern because heat can be deadly. In fact, it's the number one weather-related killer in the United States, taking more than 1,000 lives every year. In addition to the heat in the tri-state area, a few storms cannot be ruled out for this afternoon and evening, according to some meteorologists. Those storms are predicted to be strong. The main concern with those storms will be downpours, localized flooding, damaging winds, and even some hail. To the D.C. area, an excessive heat warning is currently in effect for the entire D.C. region. It began at 11 a.m. this morning and runs until 8 p.m. tonight. Today's warning is, quote, for dangerously hot conditions with heat index values around 110 degrees expected. Amidst the heat, thunderstorms are expected in the early part of this week. In addition, tomorrow's excessive heat watch is for the same conditions with heat index values up to 110 degrees possible. Much of the D.C. area is also under a Code Orange air quality alert today, meaning it is possibly unhealthy for certain sensitive groups, such as